is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Bill Lance, he's been dismissed. And I think really competent, epic fashion, thanks to Tyler and myself sneaking that in. And I really hate the Texans for this because this was going to be the WandaVision hour, but I can't do it.
No. I'd literally leave if you were going to talk about WandaVision.
I know. I haven't seen this recent episode, okay, so I wouldn't do it either. But we will talk Texans if people want to talk about J.J. Watt. Fidencio, I did see you, so if you want to get back in, please do call in. Really open forum. Nick's here with me as he's cleaning up Lance's mess because Lance didn't wipe anything down.
Everybody's doing well.
In the age of COVID, Lance still doesn't care about that sort of thing.
Yeah, he like never wipes it down.
No, he just walks out. He doesn't care.
He's like, whatever, I'll just leave.
People think we're joking about that when Joel's yelling at me right after this show because what Lance did not do. But this is what Lance does.
Why is he yelling at you for what Lance does?
I think he just wants it known.
Or attention.
You know how people like to talk and be heard just to know that they've been heard. That's what Joel does. He just wants to know that someone is hearing his complaints, and I'm there for that.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I can't do anything about it. He still is gonna clean it up himself, but he just wants to be heard, and that's fine. So I take that, and I tell you, that's what Lance is. He's a trash human being. Sorry. But up next, let's talk to Ben. Ben wants to talk about JJ. What's up, Ben?
What's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Hey, so I had a JJ question and another question. My question about JJ is, now that he's gone, do you think he had to sign a contract where he could not say anything bad about Easterby or Tom McNair? And with these reports saying, like, Texas players are unhappy, the locker room's unhappy with everything, why don't they just come out and say, hey, we're not happy with Zach Easterby, get him fired, get him out of here? Like, what's Tom McNair going to do, fire all the players? I'll hang up and listen.
You know, it's a unique thing, this situation. Now, there have been poorly run franchises, and sometimes guys do speak out, but I don't think that is what NFL players like to do. They would rather just get out and go someplace else, and then once they're gone, have these conversations. Now, JJ is free and clear. I don't know if he had to sign an NDA to secure his release.
I don't think he did. Why would he sign that?
No, I mean, I don't believe that's the case. Like Lance has pointed out, it's actually a mutually beneficial thing because a tweet from Chris Trapasso points out the Texans now have around $4 million to spend, and that's the fewest amount of cap space in 2022. No, excuse me. They now have around $4 million to spend in 2021, and coupled with that, they still have the fewest amount of cap space in 2022. So this is a team hurting for cap space. So this move certainly helps them. They were over before the move. I just don't think JJ is looking to, on his way out, when they gave him what he wanted, take his shots. Now, other players, they're still on the contract.
Yeah.
So it doesn't help them either. I don't know if there'll be this open run to a podcast to rip the Texans from players, even if they're former players. That generally doesn't happen when the guys are playing.
Here's what I think will happen. I think someone will ask him a question, and then he will have a quote, and that quote will be isolated, and it will look like he was taking a shot at the Texans. Or it is human nature, after you've left your former employer, to be more open about the culture and what was happening behind closed doors. It's just human nature to do that. So I can see him taking a little jab here and there, but it really depends on how bad of a taste is in his mouth now that he's no longer a Texan, you know?
I wonder, now this will be years down the line, Ben, that once JJ's career is over, and this particular run in Texans history, although it hasn't been that long, will be something people will ask the players who are in it about after their careers are over. He may have something to say then when he's long out of the NFL, getting prepared to be a Hall of Famer. I can hear myself.
My bad.
I think he may have something to say once his career is over, but even then I doubt it because this seems like a guy that at some point will be a Texans ambassador. He'll have his name up in the Ring of Honor. And if Jack Easterby is still here, God forbid, I don't know if he'll speak. But, you know, players at the end of their careers are far more open about these things. So I can see it happening after he's done playing.
Yeah, I always bring up the John Gruden situation. Remember when he traded away Mack?
Yeah, Khalil Mack, yeah.
And everybody was like, well, what are you doing? And then some beat writer asked him, hey, talk about how important pass rushing is and pass rushers are. And then he obviously wanted him to say pass rushers are very important right after they traded Mac, so he can isolate that quote and say pass rushers are very important. What happened to John Gruden? Everybody started pooping all over John Gruden. If pass rushers are so important, why did you trade Mac? You know, and that's why I think could potentially happen with J.J. Watt. You know, he could be asked the question and then that quote's going to be isolated and looked in about 15 different ways, you know, especially old Texans fans that might have some bitterness.
Yeah, he's so media savvy. I imagine, I don't know if he'll do a run of interviews before he signs. I'm not sure what his plan will be now that he's no longer a Texan. But I think his focus right now is finding the best place for him, and everyone assumes it's Pittsburgh because of his brothers. But who knows what he might decide, where he might decide to play. I think he'll be able to avoid that just by not talking to anyone.
Yeah.
He legit doesn't have to say a word to anyone.
He really doesn't.
Until training camp. I mean, there might, because of the status he where he is as a player, he may have an introductory press conference where he's asked questions. But even then, he can go, in the age of COVID, eh, I don't want to do it. I'll just sign. I'm a new guy here. I don't want to have a press conference. So we'll see. There are ways to avoid these questions for a little bit. And then he can always say, hey, I'm glad to be a Steeler or a Packer. That's where I am now. That pass is the pass. I just want to talk about this place and our opportunity to win a championship. He can avoid that. Let's get to Leon before we go to break. Leon, let's talk a little bit about J.J. Watt, too. What's up, Leon?
Yeah. I hate Donald Trump, and I believe J.J. getting white privilege.
That was OU Mike.
Yeah, it sounded like him. A guy who hasn't been able to get on the station for
a
while.
He sounds different, dude, doesn't he?
Well, he was changing the voice.
Oh, so that's what he's doing?
Yeah.
Little voice changer?
And he used Leon, which I guess he thinks is a black name, to talk and put on a bit of an accent. Well, OU Mike, these are the reasons you don't make a – you're not on the station anymore. Because you do things like that and things that are a little bit more aggressive. I don't even know – who enacted the ban? Was it a press box thing that started it?
I'm not going to say a name from the actual show, but there were very inappropriate racist names being called to somebody on that show and via our text line.
Gotcha.
So we blocked him on there, and then we just decided to block him altogether.
Understood.
And now he's found a workaround.
Pretending to be Leon, which, not clever.
I mean, I've heard him calling as John before, mm-hmm. And this was recently, like within the past week. So he's just changing his name, and I mean, there's really no way that we can.
Yeah, the interns aren't going to be so well-versed in him to know. Yeah. So it's a thing.
He used to never change his voice. His voice was so distinct, you couldn't ever not know. It was, yeah. Oh, you Mike. I get fooled all the time.
I mean, he still has the accent, so yeah, that's the one giveaway.
And the content of the calls are going to lead you there as well. So if you're not OU Mike, and maybe your actual name is Leon, you can call in if you have some thoughts on what's going on. I did want to get to something that I wish was my initial idea, but I will give myself credit for deciphering the thing before the guy got to it. The importance of not losing a generation, because this guy brought up the fact that Josh Pate, he does a college football podcast with 24/7. He talked about the importance of how video games can keep a generation locked in on a particular sport. And this was because
I agree.
It's because now I want you, that's why I didn't bring it up with Lance, because once again, some things I just don't want to talk to Lance about.
Right.
But also, you are now playing video games on Twitch from time to time, so I want to get your thoughts on it as well, Tyler. We talked about EA Sports bringing back college football when it occurred. He brought up the fact that EA Sports and college football was in danger of losing a generation of fans, because if you go a decade without the game, how do you grow the game? And it hit home for me, because I remember as a kid what FIFA did for me in soccer. Now, I'm the son of a Nigerian immigrant, so soccer was always going to be a thing. But I just felt it was a thing he was making me do. Until the World Cup in 94 came to the country, I had a summer in Florida, and we used FIFA 94 as a companion to watching the games.
Yeah.
So soccer became a big thing for my cousins, and it still is because of that game and that World Cup. And he talked about what EA would do, what the game coming back might do for college football. So I wanted to get into that as well. But once again, we'll still continue to talk about JJ, but I did want to get Nick and Tyler's thoughts on how video games can keep a young kid who plays these games locked in on the sport he or she may otherwise have not been locked in on. So we'll talk about that on the other side and more JJ stuff too. Me and the rest of the family here singing Where'd You Go?
ESPN 97.5.
You ready? Let's go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Some other Houston-related news other than J.J. Watt. We'll continue to talk about that. Kyle McHugh has signed a one-year deal with Tampa. And Jake Mariznick has signed a one-year deal with the Cubs. So former Astros finding places to play. This is a comes
also,
courtesy.
Go ahead. Marwin with the Red Sox.
Yeah, Marwin Gonzalez is now a Red Sox. Thanks to Aaron, who is a producer for the Blitz, for sending these stories out. So, and I also want to get into, you know, a couple other things regarding the list of stories. But I did bring up on the other side, or the previous segment, what and how really different things can affect your fandom. And now we'll see what the loss of J.J. Watt, potentially Deshaun Watson, does to Texan fans.
Yeah.
Because J.J. Watt, despite the injuries and the lack of production the last couple years, has been really the face of the franchise as it's been transitioning to Deshaun. Now, it very well could be, although the Texans have stood firm with Deshaun, that both of them will be gone. Both of them could be gone by the end of this offseason. But, Nick, you're now a guy who plays video games on Twitch.
Yeah, from time to time now, yeah.
So, and I would assume as a kid you played him as well.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
So, as a kid, I mentioned FIFA, that game got me into soccer. I don't know, other than Glenn Davis, I mean, I'm sure there are certainly fans of soccer on the station, but me, I feel like I'm one of those people who cares about it quite a bit on the station. So, and it's all because of that game. FIFA 94.
Yeah.
I remember it was back then where they didn't even have licensing. It was just the national teams and they didn't have real players.
Yeah.
But it was still the game that built my love for soccer to a point where I wanted to play it. I want to watch it. And I think college football has suffered a bit the last 5 or 6 years or so without FIFA, without NCAA. College football has become it's always been a provincial sport in terms of what you care about. You really care about who's in your region. But as far as the sport itself as a whole, since the playoff has started, since 2015, no team west of Oklahoma has made the college football playoff. Certainly out west, it's been barren because USC has not been good. They made a Rose Bowl and a Cotton Bowl, but weren't good enough to make the title game or the playoffs. Oregon and Washington, back-to-back years from the Pac-12, made a playoff, but since 2015, that has not happened. And I wonder if the sport is hurting because it's not a national sport anymore, at least in terms of winning a title. And I thought to myself when Josh Pate of 24/7 was talking about this, you know what? As a kid, would I have loved college football as much as I do if I didn't get to play the game? And I would say probably not.
Especially that particular game, because that NCAA college football game was a massive hit.
It was. It was one of the it was the companion to Madden. Now Madden always outsold it. It was a brand name.
Sure.
But hardcore people who would make the rosters and play and get the midnight drop. It was one of those things in July or August. I forgot exactly when that came out that you had to have. And I think it changed for my generation. It was a thing and it made college football a big deal all year long.
Yeah.
So I'm in agreement with this gentleman that that game coming back helps the sport. And I would ask people, I'll ask you, Tyler, maybe you know more than me. Did MLB the show help baseball?
I think somewhat, yeah. I mean, kids are kind of playing that, and they're playing with these newer, younger guys that, if they start winning on the game with them, then they kind of tend to cheer for whoever they're winning with. So I think it kind of grows the game a little bit. But going to NCAA, I don't think I've played that since 2005.
Yeah, some people, it was a
thing.
When
was the last year? Wasn't it like 14?
14. Okay. It was the Denard Robinson year.
Yeah, he was on the cover of the game. I was one who got it every time it came out on release day. Because back when it was out, I didn't have a full-time job. So you're part-time and you're going to school. You have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
And that's what you would do.
I think there's something to be said about, you know, how fantasy football makes you a fan of players. I think there's something to be said about, you know, video games making you a fan of players as well.
And I think it kind of dilutes your team fandom.
Sure.
That it does do that. I mean, maybe it's why we have LeBron fans and Harden fans more than we have fan.
Lazy J hates LeBron. Hates LeBron.
That is the biggest lie you've ever told.
But I mean, the thing with, like, for me, like, so, like, with, you mentioned FIFA, right? 94. Like, for me, I think with soccer, there's a little bit more anticipation when it's like a World Cup
certainly
version.
Yeah.
So I think World Cup soccer games really get me into it. Like the one that was in, like, I think it was Xbox 2006. I was very familiar with the players. I probably forgot about them now, but that was kind of like a resurgence of my interest into soccer because of that particular game. So it absolutely can do it. There's anticipation too, because there's like 4 years apart, you know, with the World Cup version. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think the problem with Madden though, in games like NBA 2K, is that they have to come out with one every single year, and everyone, they want to charge you for one every single year.
There's barely any difference. It's just like a roster update pretty much.
And if you look at the trend at games now, they don't necessarily come out with a new game every year. A lot of them are free and then they just update it. They'll give you there's a paid version that you can buy, but a lot of them are free. They just update it and you can buy stuff within the game, within the free version. So I feel like that's going away from the trend. And I think Madden might be in trouble for that. I think they need to probably embrace that approach, you know?
Yeah, they've added features, and we see you, Reagan and Scott. We'll get to you in the segment. They've added features to try to make it more entertaining, but I think back to the original thing, college football has been hurt, at least nationally, by not only how it's become a very southeastern sport in terms of who can win titles, unless your name is Ohio State at this point, and Notre Dame has made their runs as well, but also because there isn't something you can watch the game and then go play the game. That was always the biggest thing. Saturdays I would watch, and then I would spend all Saturday night back when I didn't have the ability to watch games all night, all day and all night long, because it was a different thing. I didn't have cable as a kid, so I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I was after those midday ABC games, what would I do the rest of the weekend? Play the game. And that's how my love for it was built. And now it's a stupid, stupid obsession.
As a baseball guy, like, the reason why I like baseball games, when I didn't like playing it as much, this is just for me, some people are more patient about it. It's because the boring factor, the fact that you have to wait in line before you have your at-bat. But with a video game, that you're playing it all the time. So for me, baseball games are fun because you're always doing something as opposed to waiting in line for your at-bat, or you're a pitcher and you're just waiting to have your chance to play, you know? So is that a part of the – do you like baseball games over NFL games, or you don't really care?
I haven't had a PlayStation or Xbox
in a minute,
probably like 15 – yeah, like literally since NCAA. Like, I think I sold my PS3 in 2008 because I hadn't played it in 3 years or whatever.
But that would be my last thought about it, was the baseball thing, because you're always playing.
I wonder what Tyler's timeline is. He went video game interest, craft beer interest, and then the video game interest dropped.
Probably it. Yeah.
The video game just like disappeared.
It's like video games, not playing football, not being in high school, drinking.
What was your last console? Was it the 360?
No, it was the PlayStation 3.
Oh, even before that.
Yeah.
Let's get to Scott. Scott wants to talk about the Rockets and J.J. Watt. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm just kind of worried about PJ. And I mean, like, I know he hit a couple of threes last night, but he can't board. I mean, he's always been undersized, but going back to your video game thing, I played 2K with Tracy and Yao, and that was my favorite thing because they just dominated. And, hey, JJ, don't get you a ring, man. Don't deal with this crap. Easterby sucks.
Thanks, Scott. I think that is probably the prevailing opinion. You're sad to see him go, but you realize the mess that it is. That is the Texans, and you're like, you've done your service.
Yeah.
You weren't ever an issue for us. You played hard when you could and were healthy, and now it's time to go find a ring someplace else.
What else are you going to do if you're J.J. Watt? What else are you going to do if you're the Texans? I saw the video that J.J. Watt published. I think you guys played the audio a little bit earlier. I mean, he asked for the release, and they gave it to him. I mean, what else are you going to do in a situation like that? I was talking to Lance before he left, and I've seen it in front of you. I was like, what was the hope? The hope was we maybe get a third round. If not, you probably weren't going to get anything, I felt like.
Yeah, the trade deadline, that adds some urgency, so maybe a team desperate to win a title thinks he's a missing piece, so you add him and maybe you get some added value. But now it's the offseason. You have those teams have the ability to kind of take a different perspective on their team, and certainly they can add through free agency or the draft. I think JJ's value has decreased because not only wasn't he that productive, but there is no push to get him for the stretch run of the playoffs. It's like, well, we got multiple ways to improve, and JJ might be a piece, but at $17 million, $17.5 million, we're not giving you a premium pick for that.
No,
so
I wouldn't either. And look, there is something to be said about leverage. If I think if he didn't have the injury prone label, even with the expiring contract, I think you might have got something for JJ Watt. I think the fact that you were talking about some serious injuries with his back and stuff like that, teams know. I mean, most teams don't have like a Bill O'Brien making bad decision at general manager. They know when a team has leverage or not. And so why would they give up anything for someone like J.J. Watt? And he's still a good player, but why would you give up anything?
Yeah, and the money that it would take to bring him in is the biggest hindrance, because you still have moves you need to make to improve your team. And J.J.'s not a guy at this point that's putting you over the top. He's just a piece of a rotation for a defensive line. Unfortunately for the Texans, he was all – in this back part of his career, he was always looked at when on the field as he needed to be a game changer. And through it, because of injuries and age, that stuff had kind of gone away, but he was still playing a lot of snaps.
He was
on a really good team,
yeah,
with a deep rotation. He's a rotational guy, which makes your depth even stronger as opposed to the lead dog on this bad team. Reagan, we see you. Q, we see you as well. I'm interested to see what he has to say about Urban Meyer, because Urban Meyer's in the news this week as well. We'll get to you guys on the other side. Dell, Nick, Tyler will close out the hour here with you.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
No, John. He'll be back on Monday, maybe. We got some, let's just say, I won't call it odd, but we got some less than normal weather coming our way.
I know.
So we got a...
Are you scurred?
I'm not scurred, because scurred means... I would brave the conditions. If there's legit snow on the ground that's sticking, you driving in?
After what we saw in Fort Worth, and by the way, that video you sent me, Tyler, was absolutely insane.
So that truck at the end where it came in and it hit an FJ Cruiser, and then the FJ Cruiser hit a truck,
yeah,
and knocked it up.
Yeah,
that was there was another angle of that where you can see that semi truck just sliding all around for like at least 500 feet, and then it slams into that pileup. It was insane.
Yeah, they were kind of hauling though. They were kind of hauling ass. I ain't gonna lie. They looked like they were speeding in that video.
Well, I don't know whether or not it was. I don't think it was low visibility, so like you'd think that like you'd be able to see all that. But again, like wasn't there obviously. Like,
right.
I don't know what kind of circumstances it was. I know that it was icy, but everybody coming in was just hauling ass.
So Monday, if it's really bad, you ain't driving in this mess. I don't blame you.
No,
because I've had my car slide before on ice, mm-hmm. And it's really scary because everybody obviously wants control. I mean, people get nervous when they lose control of something so minor, you know, let alone their car. Man, I was just absolutely terrified that I had no control over my car, and I only slid like maybe 5 to 6 feet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a couple times, not recently, but we've had the ice storms before, and I've driven in, and we know, I hear about how black ice is the scariest of ices because you can't see it. And, of course, because of the show I'm on, we make jokes about, of course, black ice is the scariest one that they tell us about. But if you are looking to follow someone, SpaceCityWeather.com is a great site, but also at SpaceCityWX, Eric Berger, you want to follow him. He keeps you updated. His tweet 4 hours ago says, "We're highly confident that a major winter storm and the coldest temp since the 80s will be impacting Houston Monday into Tuesday. This will be a serious weather event for the region." And at Matt Lanza tells you everything we know right now. Today's posted, and there's a link. So,
could you imagine if you're like a courier? You know what I mean? Or you're like,
yeah, no, if you're dude, like, for the USPS,
we got to deliver.
So, I'm not going to inform you of what you should or shouldn't do, but if there's a real shot, it'll be so bad no one wants to leave their house. Maybe get all your stuff done this weekend. Oh, I don't know what that pertains to, but maybe get some groceries in. It's only 2 days, so it's not like you get snowed in and not be able to eat.
Yeah. Well, shout out to those guys too. They're developing an app.
Oh, that'll be great.
Nice.
Space City Weather. But yeah, figure out a way, because Monday and Tuesday you may not want to move. You may want to just stay warm at home. So if you got things to do, maybe you get them done this weekend. But let's go to Reagan. Reagan wants to talk about JJ Watt. What's up, man?
Good morning, Dell. And I wanted to say, you know, people love John and Lance, the godfathers of Houston talk radio. But in my opinion, you are the most important part of the John and Lance show. You're the straw that stirs the drink. And you are, in my rankings, the number one member of the bench. So I want that on the record. Second
appreciate
of all,
that.
Dell,
nice.
You know, there's a proven theory, 100% accurate, well-documented theory, that when Houston sports stars get married, their performance fails. It's 100% true, as you know. And do you think J.J. Watt's life choice of settling down with his soccer star fiance, now wife, led directly to his injuries, lack of performance, and now being fired from his job?
Reagan,
I'm curious your thoughts.
Before you hang up, are you the person who would tweet those two guys who are far less competent and good at their jobs than me, as you pointed out, about how the Astros were better on the road because their significant others weren't anywhere near them?
Yes.
Were you? Okay, I figured.
My theory.
I figured. Yes. Thank you for that. And to answer your question, maybe JJ's age has more to do with his fall off than the wife. Look, I am a big proponent of not getting married, whether you're an athlete or not.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Agreed.
But that's my personal thing. People love getting married. It's a thing.
They fall in love, though. Maybe one day you'll fall in love.
You know, falling in love doesn't mean you have to sign a contract, which is what a marriage is.
It's a long-ass contract, I'm assuming.
Well, you can get out of it really quickly if you decide to. It's actually like
out of a marriage contract?
Well, not really quickly. You could decide to – you could be married within – you could be married and divorced within 2 months if that's how you want to go about things.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you can get out of a marriage really quickly if both parties decide they want out.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a pain in the ass to do.
I was like probably thinking of it the way Tyler was, and the fact that there's no divorce or no marriage that breaks up.
Yeah, the marriage lobby sells you on the whole, yeah, this is forever. No, it's not. You can be done in a month if that's what you want to do. You legit could be out of it in a month if that's what you want to do. No, Reagan, I don't think J.J. Watt's marriage contributed to his fall off. I know that's your theory. I think his age and injuries did.
You know, how your significant other impacts your performance is so weird to me. We talk about it in the MMA world, too. Like, some of these guys are not getting laid during their training camp. I think that's absolutely insane and dumb. I would absolutely be having sex during my training camp.
Now we know what he would be doing as a UFC fighter.
No, I'm just saying, why would you stop for three? You're talking about an 8 to 12 week training camp, bro.
It's the
legs, you're
going
to end up
apparently.
Looking like the dude from the Geico commercial, like the caveman, like you. You're all stopped up.
That was a big thing with boxers back in like the 90s. Yeah. Like it still kind of is.
It was always that myth, or maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah.
That the legs, your legs go if you're having sex during training.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. At least that's in boxing movies. I always saw that.
Yeah.
Mick from Rocky would always talk
about
the legs.
Well, then maybe my legs should go because I'm not going 8 to 12 weeks without having sex. That's absolutely insane.
You're not dedicated to your craft. That's what people would say about you.
Yep.
You're not dedicated.
You don't have that desire.
You don't have the desire to be the best.
I mean,
and to be honest, look, is it going that good? The sex that good that you couldn't pass up
for 12 weeks?
If it meant losing a title,
I'd rather have three sessions of bad sex than not have no sex at all.
If I said you go without it for 8 weeks and you are the world champion. You still wouldn't do it?
Okay, I see what you're
saying.
That's
what they're thinking.
Well, when you pose it like that.
That is what people who buy into that are thinking.
What if you had like 3 or 4 training camps of 8 to 12 weeks and you've never became a champion? Then you start questioning your approach.
Then maybe stop fighting. maybe it has less to do with your approach to training and more you're not that talented. Let's get to Q. Let's talk about Urban Meyer. What's up, Q?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Let's talk about Urban Meyer. I think we need to start questioning his decision-making. I mean, he's bringing in this strength and conditioning coach from Iowa who's had a history of using derogatory terms and racial slurs. Now, to have a coach like that in the college level is one thing. College kids will be a little hesitant to come forward because they're on scholarship. They're scared their scholarship will be pulled from them or this might affect their playing time. But now you're bringing this guy into a locker room with these grown individuals, and not only the individuals, but with a coaching staff that, from what I read, is going to include people like Charlie Strong. You're going to bring a guy like that into a locker room who has this history. And I don't think that's going to gel, you know. And now we're looking at other decisions that he's made back at Ohio State with the other coach who was beating on his wife and let him stay on staff. No telling what kind of stuff was going on in Florida. We all know the Aaron Hernandez story. We don't know how much he knew about that and everything else that was going on in Florida. Now, I think we need to question, is Urban Meyer really fit to be a coach and have decision-making skill, decision-making ability like he's having?
Yeah, it is an interesting way to start your career, or NFL career, by answering questions about why you hired a guy who had to be dismissed from his previous job because of what Iowa players thought were derogatory and racist terms. If you missed the story, in the summer, Chris Doyle, longtime Iowa strength coach, was dismissed because Iowa players accused him of being a part of a culture at Iowa that didn't really, let's say, they weren't sensitive to black players in terms of what they said to them directly and how they told them to dress, how you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, because that is not the Iowa way. And Urban Meyer hired him. I don't know why he needed to hire Chris Doyle as his strength coach. I'm sure there are other value candidates, but Urban Meyer went on to say, I vet everyone on our staff, and like I said, the relationship goes back close to 20 years, and a lot of hard questions asked, a lot of vetting involved with all our staff. We did a very good job vetting that one. I would ask, did you ask the players who made the complaints? If you're vetting Chris Doyle, maybe don't just ask him and the people who, you know, like him and think he does a good job. Go ask the people who had an issue with him, and then combine that information and make a decision. It feels like an unnecessary distraction. I mean, I'm not
saying...
To
bring to the table?
I'm not saying Chris Doyle ain't great at his job. He was around Kurt Ferentz for a while, very successful football coach because of what he could do for the program. Iowa's a program all about development. They don't get the 4 or 5 stars consistently. In fact, I don't know if they ever get 5 stars, but they're a developmental program. So strength and conditioning is a big deal. But it feels like an unnecessary way to start your career.
Yeah, especially he's going into the NFL right now. Do I think he's going to be a good head coach? And you know, in Urban Meyer, it remains to be seen. I think you have to give him a chance. But in terms of the Chris Doyle situation, obviously he's been around long enough to the point where when you were coaching 10, 15 years ago, there was just a lot of things that you can say or do that you just cannot do now. And I think when a head coach is responsible for hiring his team, he's not looking. He's not, if there's no controversy around that particular name at that time, because remember, a guy like Urban Meyer, he's dealt with multiple controversies. If there's no specific controversy being dealt with at that time, I don't think that's his first thought when he hires him. He's not thinking, oh, well, you know, this could be a problem, because there hasn't been talk about Chris Doyle as of late, with an exception of that Iowa situation, you know? And I don't think coaches think like that. I think he's comfortable with a guy like Chris Doyle because he's worked with him. And that's just the honest temptation. You don't hire people in the football world
that you don't know
just because he has an unbelievable resume. You hire people you know and you're friends with and worked with in the past.
So. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how Jacksonville players will handle it. It's a new guy, a new hope. Urban Meyer is going to be at the pro day for Trevor Lawrence, who we all know will be that pick. But when some of the complaints were Doyle, among others, used racist language, if that becomes a thing Jacksonville players pay attention to, I would ask my coach, why is he here? Also, it wasn't restricted to black players and racist remarks. Former Iowa offensive lineman Jack Callenber said he had to retire from football because he was suspended because of what he described as bullying related to a learning disability. And Doyle was among the coaches who harassed him. So apparently Doyle didn't discriminate in terms of who he harassed.
Yeah.
But he did have certain remarks for black players that they found racist. So Urban Meyer will have to talk to his players, and maybe he says, this is my guy, he does a great job, deal with it, which ain't a great start to how you build your new franchise in Jacksonville. We see you, Underrated Mess. He wants to talk about a discussion we had in the second hour about side pieces. If you missed it, you can go to Podcast Arena and see that, or hear that, excuse me. Holly and Freaky Deaky had a back and forth about Side Piece Day, which follows Valentine's Day. I think it's the best thing we've ever done. So you can find it on the second hour of the program. Also, John, we see you. I want to talk about J.J. Watt and the Browns maybe being a thing. We'll get to you guys on the other side. Let it go, you can back it up. If you ain't at peace with God, you need to patch it up. But
ESPN 97.5. Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Last segment, no John. I'm here along with Nick and Tyler. And before we get to the callers, I want to say a congratulations to one of the best people one of the best people here. And I'm assuming he's a great person outside here. Jose Partida.
He's an amazing person.
Last day with Gal Media. He's moving on to something he really loves to do. I mean, he's tweeted it out that he's done. I'll let him explain at the time what he wants to do. It's not my story to tell. But Jose Partida, last day here. Great guy.
Yep.
Going to do well wherever he's going. And I'm happy for him because it's something he wants to do, something he loves to do. Or he's moving on. So if you know Jose, you've heard him. You've probably heard him at times on 97.5. He hasn't been on this side for a little bit. He's been on the national side. But one of the best people you're going to meet.
Yeah, the 97.5ers would know him when he was producing for Charlie Polillo. He's produced a number of shows. One of our more tenured producers here. Just an absolutely talented dude. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, @parj94. He's a super good dude. Congratulations to Jose Partida.
Yeah, and he's doing the thing that unfortunately doesn't always get to happen. Really in any walk of life in terms of your job, but he gets to leave on his own terms, which is I was so happy about when he told us. I was like, look, man, he knows. He's been around long enough to know things can change really quickly. And considering the age of COVID, it can change really quickly for a lot of people in terms of your employment. And he gets to go to a place on his own terms, which is the best thing you get to do. So congratulations to him. And if you know him, if you've had any interaction with him, just congratulate him, man. He's going to go do good things.
I agree.
I'll sign off on that. Those very, very poignant words.
Thank you. Sometimes I can do that.
Sometimes you can speak well, huh?
When I'm not being the a-hole who trolls the two hosts I work with, I can do those things. But let's get to a couple more people before we go. John was talking about JJ possibly being a Brown. What's up, John?
Hell yeah. I've been a Cleveland Brown fan my whole life. I've been living in Texas for the past 13 years. And, I've been watching JJ, and I'm like, that dude's a beast, man. We would love him. And I think that even though he's had injuries, which I think is due to more, like, overtraining, much like Arian Foster had issues with, I still think he's got some juice in him, man. And I'd love to see him lined up across a Myles Garrett. I wonder what you think of the possibilities of that and how that would work out.
Thanks, John. I think JJ will certainly go look for a place where he can go win. It'll be interesting if he actually chose Cleveland over his brother in the same division. I feel like that puts that scenario at the very low end of options. I couldn't imagine him joining.
Why would you want to go to Cleveland?
Well, they did beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. He may think they're going to be good, but I can't imagine him joining the division rival of his two brothers. That seems like an odd choice in that.
I agree. I think he wants to play with his brother. I think the two front runners? I guess it'd be the Packers and the Steelers would be the only
that
two.
That is the assumption.
I mean, it's either go to a team that could potentially win a Super Bowl or play with your brothers. But looking at Seattle's cap space, they're $30 million over the cap. So
Seattle is?
No, not Seattle. Steelers.
Yeah, so that was the other thing. I saw a tweet about someone saying, apparently people who are pushing for this move think JJ will sign for $12. Because because the Steelers don't have a lot of, they would have to make moves, and who knows?
I'll give you $10 million to play here. Like, he helps them out.
Yeah.
With their cap space.
Yeah, I just don't know what moves the Steelers would be willing to make to accommodate bringing J.J. in. Maybe J.J.'s a guy who would sign one of those backup quarterback deals where he signs for 1 year, $5 million. I don't know what he's worth, considering his age, and we talk about it, the injuries, and really the lack of production. So he's not getting 17 and a half any place, and that's part of the reason he probably didn't get traded to a place he would have chosen, because who's willing to give him that type of money?
No, I don't think anybody is. I think now that he's officially released, I feel like something that I'm super interested in would be, how much is his demand now? Now that everybody knows he's up for grabs, how many teams are knocking on the door and calling him, and what kind of deals? Like, I really want to know what his value. And I imagine guys like Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter eventually start reporting that stuff. But I imagine there's more than just those two teams that are calling, you know what I mean, and reaching out and inquiring about J.J. Watt.
And if J.J., if you believe he is a self-aware individual, I mean, John said he would like to see him on the other side of Myles Garrett. If you're J.J., I'd say, sure, a team who's good is a place I want to go. But I also want to go to a place where I'm not needed for 60 plays a game.
Yeah.
I want to go to a place where I can be part of a rotation, a place where they have multiple guys who can get after the passer, and I can be an added benefit as opposed to a main cog, because we've seen the wear and tear. And you know,
oh, he has to be way more strategic because of his body and what it's been through. So
yeah, playing 25 to 30 snaps in pass rushing situations might be the best thing for him to lengthen that career. So we'll see what
maybe he calls Tom Brady or something. I mean, I don't know. Understand, like, some of these players are dropping millions of dollars on their body just to keep in shape. So it's crazy.
And I thought you meant because Shaq Barrett of Tampa is a free agent too. There may be a spot for him there.
Oh yeah.
So there's that too. So J.J. is gonna have some.
That'd actually be kind of cool though if he went to Tampa.
It'd be interesting if he did go there, considering how many times Tom Brady ruined his life in the playoffs. So it'd be interesting if he did make that decision. And also, he was the author. Was Tom Brady on the field for the Letterman jacket game, or was he suspended? What year was that? I think he was. I think he was a quarterback at the time. That was 2012, maybe. I don't remember. But let's get to Underrated Mess. He wants to talk about side pieces. What's up, Underrated Mess?
Hey, fellas. I appreciate it. I just wanted to get y'all's perspective, since the married guy is off the air now. I know we kind of buried J.J. Watt, kind of buried the lead with Freaky Deaky and Holly going back and forth as far as the side pieces go. I want to say this to all the youngsters out there. When Freaky Deaky talks, that's gospel. I've had the pleasure of listening to his PSAs a couple times, and that man is an OG in the game. And I just want to kind of – I respect both opinions, but I will say this in reference to the girls that – may or may not be side pieces. A lot of these women are out here lying to their friends. They side pieces too, regardless of the money and the thirst trap they're trying to get. So they just as grimy. And for all the singles out there, this is your weekend to build rosters. Happy hunting. Appreciate it, fellas.
Young love. Happy hunting is the way he signed off. The game is the game, I guess. If you missed it, it's going to be the third segment of the second hour of the show. So you're probably looking at what? 28 minutes in, you'll find it. It was a Freaky Dicky normally calls in right before Valentine's Day to talk about Side Piece Day. He has said Side Piece Day is now Wednesday because of the weather and COVID. You gotta be more attentive to your main chick because you can't be lying or bringing back COVID to her during Valentine's Day weekend. So you find it, but for the first time ever, there was a rebuttal by the lobbyist for the side chicks. Now, Holly, we're going to call her to protect the innocent because her name is Holly, and I think it's funny to do that, said that had some differing opinions. This is the first time we've had a rebuttal. She's a lobbyist. So check it out. I mean, I think it was the best thing we've ever done. Unfortunately, the Texans buried us with J.J. Watt news, so we couldn't talk about it as much.
When did that pop off, by the way? Because I just saw
it happened during the middle of our side piece segment. We got Tyler saw it first, and then we got a text from Aaron telling us, hey, J.J. Watt's been released, and in my head, I'm like, yeah, but this is more fun. This is far more fun. And then we had to get into the J.J. Watt
obviously
stuff. Yeah, so we've been
talking
about
the side piece discussion is always going to be more fun for sure.
Yeah, so check it out. Second hour of the show, third segment or so, about 28, 30 minutes, and you can find it. And it went on for about 20-plus minutes, so it's a long one. It was very illuminating for a person who wants no part of that game.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I have the energy to deal with two women just because I don't really have the energy to deal with anyone.
So before we get out of here, because I know we're up against it, are you gonna take the beer that I offered you or no?
It's a waste because I'm not going to drink it.
Why?
Because I don't.
It's a non-alcoholic beer.
You say that, but then you tell me there is alcohol in it.
Well, the non-alcoholic beers tend to have like 0.5% or less in the beer.
I'm a numbers guy. Is it 0%?
It's a 0.5%.
Dell has a zero tolerance policy for alcohol.
Yeah.
He's not the Astros with their
free and easy NA IPA. I just want you to know that there's nobody else that would do that for you. I'm the only one that's nice to you,
bring me
despite
something.
The fact that you're always rude to me when I relieve you from your shift.
Don't say relieve me.
No, I'm going to say it that way.
It makes it sound like you're doing something
care.
With my region.
I don't
you're
care.
Relieving me. You're nice to me by bringing me something you know I don't drink?
No, it's non-alcoholic.
But you're telling me it's non-alcoholic, but then telling me there is alcohol in it. So how is it?
Less than 0.5% alcohol by volume. It's not that big a deal. You won't even feel it.
I'm not. That's not the point. The point is I don't not drink beer because I have some moral thing about it. It's just at this point, I'm on a streak.
I do wonder
he's never
drank in his life if this would
What's
actually give him some sort of buzz.
Have you ever had kombucha?
Yeah, I guess once.
Okay, well,
he's had alcohol?
That's what that is. Yeah.
Ah,
there's minimal alcohol
lied.
In kombucha
but
too.
But does kombucha be bought by someone under 21? Yes, right?
Yes.
Can that?
I would assume so, yeah.
I would assume so, yeah. Usually these 0.5ers are like that, I think.
Well, we'll see. That would be my line. Since apparently line of demarcation is a thing on this show now, and Lance did it in the tweet, that's my line. If that can be bought with no ID.
The unmitigated gall of Nick to give you beer with alcohol on it.
And then lie and say there is none. I can't believe you did it.
I thought for a second I had a chance, like a chance that you would accept
gift. I need the rules. If you could have sent the 12-year-old in to buy it, then I would take it. I need a ruling.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. I'll give the ruling later.
That's all. We're done. The press box is up next. I imagine they'll be talking a lot about Nick's inability to read the room when it comes to people who don't drink, or it'll be about JJ Watt no longer being a Texan. One of the two. We're done. Appreciate everyone. Thank you, Tyler, for filling in the last few days. Thank you, Nick, for filling in the last hour, the last 2 days. The press box is up next. See ya.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.